Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, if you're thinking of buying a new car or perhaps you're trying to fix your old, Joey Donnelly from Crafton Motors is with me in studio for this Tuesday's Ask the Expert. How are you doing, Joey? How's things?
Very good, aren't you?
Good. 087 1400 106, that is the WhatsApp number. Is now a good time to buy or sell?
Well, obviously coming in the period of the year, we're up against the end of the 261 period and moving into 262 orders, I'm sure are well spilling in. I'm not sure if it's incredibly seasonal nowadays. There is obviously surges at each sale point, but to be honest, any time is a good time. It's always a buyer's market these days. There's so much choice to be had out there in the market. There's so many ways to purchase more than ever. You know, the physical dealership is changing, the online purchasing, the amount of information out there and the amount of types of vehicle. You know, the combustion engine has changed so dramatically in the last 10 to 15 years that we now have more choice for the user than ever before.
What about people that are maybe looking for, you know, a used car or a second hand car? Are those prices still consistent?
They're still quite inflated, and I think, you know, as a result, we've talked about this before, the perfect storm that was post Brexit and COVID and the regulation changes that almost switched off the UK import market for a good period of time. So it meant we were struggling to get used cars to backfill underneath. So it actually inflated the used car market quite dramatically over a period there, 2 or 3 years. It's settling a bit more. There's still a good few importers bringing in UK, and there's some high quality material coming in from Japanese imports, but again, not without their quirks as well. And just, you know, if someone is buying in those markets, you just have to do your research and make sure you know what you're getting into.
Okay, listener questions. This texter has a 05 Ford Focus. Whenever they insure the car, Joey, it's always a crazy price because the car is 20 years old. It's so reliable though, and I don't want to get rid of it, but the insurance is just too high. What would Joey advise I do?
Yeah, we do have this conversation more, a bit like the resale price of the car. Eventually, when you have an asset, it depreciates almost to zero. So the asset becomes almost zero. And what you spend on it every year, you find like you feel like you're writing off the car every time you fill it a few times full of fuel and put insurance on it. But if the alternative is buying a new car, are you in the market to go and spend 30, 40, 50,000 euros? And if not, you know, 1,500 quid or 2,000 euros might be well spent in insuring an older vehicle because you know the vehicle, you trust the vehicle, you've built up good service history with your mechanic. So it really depends on where you are. But I think everybody has to make that decision eventually. Continue to invest in the old or go look for the new.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener says, I'm thinking of purchasing a new car and I'm actually thinking about going electric. The main reason I haven't done so before now is down to range anxiety. I live 4 hours drive from Dublin, but I'm off in Dublin for medical appointments up and down in the one day, and I'm afraid that I won't make it in time, as quite often the charging points can be occupied or out of order and there's not enough of them around the country. So can you tell me what's the best electric family car that has a decent range, economical, decent boot space, etc.? Also, are there any operators that will include the installation of a home charging point?
A couple of questions there, quite detailed actually, but brilliant. And I think that customer has a really specific set of needs, so they have to shop for those needs. And if the range anxiety is a piece, it has to be considered and it has to be given good weight. The fuel or the fuel range or the range in a lot of the modern electric vehicles now are 400, 500, 600 kilometers, real usage kilometers that are available across a lot of the brands. So I don't want to pinhole a brand here, but most of the brands now are offering vehicles with extra long range vehicles for 400 and 500 kilometers. That is similar to what would have been seen in a full tank of fuel. Obviously, the opportunity to renew that fuel at a petrol station is very easy, and an EV charger may be a little bit more difficult. But I really feel with a little bit of planning, an EV is almost fine for everybody. I think there is a jump and there's stages to that jump, but right now we are getting better and better.
But probably if range anxiety is a concern and if they're 4 hours drive from Dublin, they're looking at a brand new EV really, aren't they?
I would imagine so. Yeah. To get that sort of range you're looking for in the 450 plus kilometres of real usable range, and if you're doing 4 hours in a car, you're going to have the aircon on, you're going to have all the bells and whistles on, so that range is going to be decreased a small amount because your usage is going to be higher. So like that might be more like 300 and odd real kilometres to that user. So again, they have to put a lot of weight on that decision and maybe to consider a step up until they really feel comfortable. Or go and rent an EV or try and get a lend of an EV or use one for a week or two
actually,
and do that. Like, there's no better way to just find it.
Listener has a 10-year-old car, Joey. It needs replacing. I just want something reliable for the city. Is there any way I can get something for less than €10,000? Or what's a realistic budget now for a new for a second-hand car?
€10,000 is like still a lot of money, but it often doesn't buy you a whole lot of car. I think that person really needs to do their homework, looking for what they need. If they're just tipping around the city, they need a low petrol engine. They're not going to get a second-hand EV for 10 grand. If they are, it's not going to be usable. So they're going to have to stay with a petrol engine, I would imagine. A small little 1 litre, the Yaris's, the Micras, the Kia Picantos, the Hyundai i10s.
The Polo was the dream of the 1 litre, wasn't it?
The Polo is brilliant. They're so popular. A lot of imports brought in with the automatic Polo. And as I've said it before, you see all the young boys and girls rolling around in white Polos that are automatic. They seem to be on trend at the minute.
Yeah.
But I think that small car is going to have to be the one they're going to have to purchase. But they need to do their homework. People are offloading cars for €10,000 that they're going to move into a different one. So they just need to make sure they're protected well.
Listener says, I'm looking at buying a Japanese import. Are they a nightmare to get parts for if anything goes wrong?
Okay, so I have to be politically correct in my answer here. There is definitely a lot of Japanese imports that are extremely difficult to get parts. Some of the more obtuse vehicles that you would see that you don't see on the road every day in those imports, they are almost nigh on impossible to get some parts for. Some of the manufacturers are extremely good. Some of the Volkswagen, Audi group are built for European spec and exported to Japan. So when they come back in, they are actually quite okay to get parts for. Some of the other more, as I said, obscure models, they have some intricacies and they can be difficult to get parts. So doing a little bit of research, maybe talking to someone like me who sees these vehicles every day or your mechanic, the mechanical parts are always generally quite, they cross over between brands. However, it's the body parts in the event of an accident that can be tricky.
We're flying through some of these. Daughter has put petrol into her diesel car, waiting on the mechanic to check it out. Is it wrecked?
It depends how far they drove it. So petrol into a diesel isn't ideal. Diesel into a petrol is probably a little bit less impactful. It depends how long they drove it for.
So if you catch it straight away?
Oh, if you catch it straight away, drain the fuel tank, filler full of diesel and in general it should be okay, you know, petrol
so
into a diesel.
It's
a bit of look involved here.
Expecting my third baby in July, currently have a Nissan Micra, looking to upgrade to a more family friendly and safe car. Where would you recommend?
Yeah, I mean if you're staying in the 5-seater market, your Volkswagen Golfs, your Skoda Jeeps, again, there's so much availability, depends what they're using. Your Toyotas have brilliant hybrids in family cars. So if you want to get into the Jeep style, you've one set of market to search in. Again, send me a message and I'll help give advice if they have some specifics in mind, I think is always the thing.
Do you need to change the oil in a 1.2 litre automatic gearbox? Do you need to change it?
Oh yeah, it depends on the make and model.
You do at some point.
Yeah, the transmission manufacturers, depending who manufactures them, but in general they're 2-3 years, probably 40-50,000 kilometres is the recommended automatic transmission fluid changes. Some people stretch them and never change them for 10 years and never have a bother. Some people change them every 2 years and have loads of bother. So again, not without their problems.
No, Joey Donnelly, Crofton Motors. Joey, thanks a million for joining us here on Ask the Expert this Tuesday afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.